Are you ready for the word?
Yeah.
Our theme for 2024 is the God of the impossible is doing the impossible for you today. Say that with me. Say the God of the impossible. All right, let's all do it together. Ready? Maybe you didn't have your fifth cup of coffee. Don't worry. It'll be there. Ready? One, two, three. The God of the impossible is doing the impossible for me today. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the God of the impossible is doing the impossible for you today. Give yourself a hand clap. That was pretty cool. Y'all did great. Great response. Great response. Psalms 111, verse 4 and 6 is also a verse the Lord dropped in my heart while during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it is, He causes us to remember His wonderful works. So I believe that we serve a big God. And I don't know what big problem or big demon you think you're fighting, but at the end of the day, compared to Jesus,
come on.
Our God is bigger. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
He is the God of the impossible. And He is, and I really believe this all my heart, in this year, and we've already seen many testimonies already. I know we're at the end of April, and we're moving into May, but we have already heard and seen incredible, life-changing. I just, this past Sunday, a woman came up to me, and this is the second of this particular story, came up to me and said, Pastor, I want you to know, I was diagnosed, I had a mass in my breast, I went to the doctor, and I came to church then and got prayed for, I went back to the doctor, and the mass is gone. That was this past Sunday, and that's the second one of that type, besides a person who was blind and was on the transplant list for their eyes, could not see. And a young gentleman and the member of the church, and then get prayed for, and God healed them. And he can see, he's off the list, got his driver's license, went back to work. Come on, somebody. And those are just a few of what God's doing at Hope Church this year. Why? Does God love one person more than the other? No, we are speaking, we are believing. Because if you don't believe it, you won't say it. And if you'll say it, you'll get to where you believe it, Romans 10, 17. That He is the God of miracles or the God of the impossible. Same thing. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. 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 I don't know who you are, where you're at, what you're dealing with, but I somebody needs to hear this. Nothing is impossible. The natural actions of man will help resolve the natural problems of man. But the spiritual, the supernatural, not only deal with the spiritual and the supernatural, but the realm of God overrides all dimensions. So the devil will tell you, well, that church spiritual stuff, that's for Sunday, so you feel better, and that's about your sins and eternity. And it is. But the realm of God, eternity, the realm of God, the realm of the Spirit, the things of God override every dimension. The financial systems, the physical systems, the mental systems, the emotional systems, the spiritual systems. Nothing, 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 nothing. Oh, I feel the anointing on that. We haven't got to know yet. Nothing, say nothing, is impossible with my Jesus. Come on, say again, say nothing. When the devil tells you it's impossible, say nothing. That's what the Bible says. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. If you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. He causes us to remember. I'm telling you, God is doing some stuff this year that we will not forget. Now, I believe we're in the last of the last days, the last minutes. But if I'm wrong and the Lord tarries for years to come, what God is doing this year, what about the following year? I can't deal with the following year right now. I'm focusing where we're at now. Come on. And what God is doing in 2024, it will be stories that your grandchildren's grandchildren, if necessary, will talk about. Do you, when they sit around and say, do you remember when God, have you ever sat around stories and talked about what God had done in prior generations? Do you remember when God, We talk about the Bible. We talk about D'Souza Street. We talk about different men and women of God. I'm telling you, you today are living in a generation, a year, where other future generations, if the Lord tarries, will talk about what God did through a group of people who are willing to stand up and boldly stand strong and believe that the God of the impossible will and is doing the impossible for you today. Come on, give him a praise. It will be remembered. His wonderful works will be remembered. His wonderful works will be remembered. He has shown his great power to his people. One of the ways is by giving you the lands of other nations. That means not just so you feel good. You walk away and say, ooh, I feel so emotionally good. God is good. And he is. And he wants you to feel emotionally good. But I'm telling you, it changes when you get out in the world and things, when what the world holds on to tightly, they have to let go of. Just like Israel, before they were leaving, and Pharaoh said, all right, you can go. The Bible says that God moved upon them and instructed them, go to the people that controlled you, that owned you, that you were the servant of, and begin to ask them. And they gave up all the silver and gold. Now, I wonder, and this is not the message for today, so I got to get back on track, but I'm just hanging out with you, like if I had a cup of coffee, we're just chilling. And I just wonder, if after they left, they came back to themselves and said, what happened? Boy, what was I thinking? I just loaded them up with everything we had that was silver and gold. Come on, somebody. We're just not talking about you getting a 5 or 10% raise, and that'd be nice. We're talking about, because the Bible says in the last days that the wealth of the wicked is laid up and it's going to be put into the hands of the righteous. You'll find yourself stepping into all of a sudden you'll step into deals or make in conversations, and later you'll be like, where did that come from? Right. As you walk away and say, man, that was so much easier. Come on, somebody. Say easier. Why do we get in the mind? Wow, where are we going, Lord? Why do we get in the mindset of difficulty ahead of us where Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light? There is an anointing of ease. When you step into the anointing, there's times you'll walk away and say, man, that was too easy. What was going on? I just prayed for that person and they got healed. I just asked if they wanted to go to the church and they said, yeah. I just said, you want to get saved? And they said, sure. I just said, hey, what about this? And they said, let's do the deal. You're like, whoa, Lord, what? I'm not interested in doing life the way the world has told us we have to do life. I'm believing God wants to bring a group of people in this day and age that begin to do life his way in this world. Though we're in it, we're not of it. And you'll walk away from decisions and meetings and conversations saying, Lord, what happened there? And he said, I just want you to know I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not in church, not in a battle, not on the business field, not in decision making. I'm with you. I speak that anointing of ease over every hand that wants to be raised. Lord, I want that. I speak the anointing of ease. Whatever, Lord, whatever kingdom opportunity he brings to your life this week, that you'll step into it. Even if you felt uncomfortable before or intimidated by it, you'll charge it this week in the mighty name of it. I speak the anointing of ease upon your life today in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise. He's doing something. He's doing something. He's doing something. We've been talking about how to recognize the portion, the inheritance that God has for you. Let's begin with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your truth and your word. Father God, I thank you for every person here under the sound of my voice, everyone watching online, those in the overflow, those in the portico, those in the hallway. We thank you, Father God. Every single person is special and important to you. I ask you, Father, to use me today. I lay myself down at your feet. By grace through faith, I step into the anointing, call and position authority that you've called me to be in. Use me today to bless your people for your glory, Lord Jesus. And we give you praise, and everyone shouted. Come on, take 10 seconds and give the Lord a hand clap of praise like you believe that. Hallelujah. 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 This might be the first time you came to Hope Church and thought, what have I got myself into? This is not like the church back home. It's not. And that, Come on, and that's not a bad thing in Jesus' name. Recognizing your portion. Recognizing your portion. That's the kingdom ideas, the provisions, the God opportunities. Last week we talked about how to identify, because if we don't know how to recognize what is our portion and what is not our portion in the battles of life and the situations of life, we can sometimes, because of the carnality of humanity and the tactic of the enemy in the religious world. I am not religious. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the confines, in the fabric, if you will, of religion, it has confused people to know who and what God is doing in every situation. And we begin to walk through the journey of life, maybe not everybody, but I believe everybody, and we come across these crossroads, these storms, these opportunities, these situations, and if we don't understand how to identify what and who that is from, when we look at something, do we know if that's from God or not from God? When you go to some religious people and you say, I just got a bad doctor's report, they'll tell you, oh, that's God, he's getting glory. You know what they're doing? They're confusing the teams. I don't care how good of an athlete you are, if you keep forgetting what team you're on, if you keep forgetting what team you're on, all of a sudden you'll go from offense to defense. You'll block your friend's shot. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot I'm on your team. God has a team. The devil has a team. John 10:10 is a great defining line of saying, hey, Jake, how you doing? A great defining line that says, listen, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. Hebrews 1 is one of several verses that says that Jesus is the expressed image, the visible image of the invisible God. So don't go Old Testament on me. Go New Covenant where we're at and begin to show me when Jesus was on the earth what he did. And what he did, Jesus himself said, I have not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. The words that I say are not my words, they're the Father's words. The things that I do are not my works, it's the Father doing the works. So if you want to see the nature and the heart of the Father, look to the Son. If you have to look to the light of the Son, not the natural Son, but the illumination, the description of who Jesus is and what he did. And you can't find where Jesus said, you know what, we need to give glory to the Father today. Let's go stone somebody. Let's go put a sickness on. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed by God who went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. For this reason, the Bible says that he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He went about healing those who were sick. He went about healing. He didn't go around putting sickness on people. He took sickness off people, which makes sense that why 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. It happened on the cross. It happened at the cross. He fulfilled the law and he paid the price so that we wouldn't have to pay the price and get the benefit of it. Do you know what an inheritance is? It's something of value that you did not have to work for or pay the price to get, but you receive because you know somebody, because you're connected to somebody, because you're blood with somebody. Oh, I didn't know I had an auntie on that side. Well, God bless her. She just left you $1 million. You didn't earn it. You didn't work it. You didn't strive for it. But somebody in your bloodline did, and they left you an inheritance that you didn't deserve, but you're going to. Yeah. You have no problems in receiving it. You're like, where do I sign? I'll have to think and think about her once in a while. That's an inheritance, something you didn't earn. One of the challenges in the Christian world is that if we're not taught correctly the Word of God, we'll try to earn what God has already provided. We'll try to work for what Jesus said, I already paid for. If it's in your inheritance, then you don't work for it, you receive it.
Amen.
Mm. In fact, we might get into this later, but the prodigal son, do you remember that story? And he was so hungry, the Bible says, that he wanted to fill himself up on the husk that he was feeding. Now, I don't know who hired him, and I don't know if it was out of compassion or just being mean. Because he had spent all his money, everybody left, a famine came, and no one would help him. No one would give to him. the Bible says. And he began to feed, he got hired by a farmer to feed the pigs. Now, that might just seem like a bad job to you. But in the minds of the Jewish community, see, we got to think of who Jesus is talking to. In the minds of the Jew, it is probably the worst. Why? Because you were feeding that which was unclean.
Right.
You were touching that which shouldn't have been touched.
Yeah.
And he was so hungry. You know, if I was that hungry, you know, I'll just be real. I think I would start counting how many swine, pigs, and wondering if they noticed. The last thing I would look to is what they're eating. Come on, somebody. You know, you got so hungry, you looked at that big dog walking through your kitchen and say, you better hope we keep food in this kitchen. Because you're eating a lot. I don't know if it's because I love you or I'm investing into your future, my future. You would think, it's like, man, he's got so many swine. I wonder if he would just miss one, because I'm so hungry. I think I might. But he went right to the lowest denominator, the least, not just what he wouldn't touch, but what the lowest denominator, what they were eating. That's hungry. And the Bible says nobody would give him anything. What I think is interesting is, and this just dropped in my heart this week, I never thought of it, never preached it, that he was hungry because he was looking for people that were far from his father to give him what was already his because of his father.
Wow.
We'll let that soak in just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if we get hungry, not your appetite, work with me, in life in different areas, because we want somebody to fill an area of our life and they're not connected to the covenant of God. They're far from our Heavenly Father. But it's already been provided by our Heavenly Father in this covenant of Jesus. Oh, Lord, if these people would only, those people might not. And if they don't, you still serve a God who's more than enough. We need to learn to recognize, is that from God or is that from the devil? And if it's not of God, it's okay. In fact, I encourage you to open your mouth. Too many people try to defeat the thoughts of the enemy with their thoughts. You defeat the thoughts of the enemy with the word of God out of your mouth. I've done whole messages on that, and I'll do that again. But you just don't counterattack with your thought. You don't have to debate with your thoughts. You speak the word. The devil began to tempt Jesus, and he spoke the word. It is written. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You say what God is saying in the situation. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll deal with situation. And if it's not of God, you identify it because it doesn't come into alignment with the greatest line of life, and that's the truth of God's word. That is the plumb line to every facet of every area of your life. That's where wisdom comes from. Jesus has been made wisdom to you. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then you should say, that is not my portion.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be a part of this. This is not my portion.
Right.
I'm not going to live in that offense. That's not my portion. Well, they were so mean. They were. They're just mean people. But, you know, hurt people hurt people. And I'll pray for them.
Right.
But I am not going to be subjected by them.
Amen.
I just got to help them. Says who?
One of
the human nature problems, I know nobody's ever dealt with this, I'll just talk about myself, is that we go through a process of learning that, hey, we're not people's Jesus. I can't make you get saved. I can't make you live for Jesus. I can't be your Jesus. I can't make you serve him. All I can do is be the chef that helps put the food out. And you come up and eat what you want, as much as you want. So we got to learn to say, that's not my portion. So when the doctor says, I see something on that screen, that x-ray, that's not good. Like the gentleman we told testimony that just happened last week, he was in Atlanta, grown man, and he had dealt with cancer before and had not feeling good. So he went to the doctor and they did an x-ray on his chest and his lungs, and they said, we're seeing all kinds of spots. you need to call your cancer doctor in St. Louis. And he called the cancer doctor, and he said, he looked at the information, he said, you need to get back to St. Louis now. Flew back to St. Louis, and while all that is transitioning, his mom's begin to pray. His mom called the prayer team at Hope, and they begin to pray. I didn't pray for him. Are you listening? I don't have to pray for everybody. Because we don't believe that the power of God is solidified within the context of one person. We have people in the house that know who they are. And that includes anybody and everybody that's available that's interested. Amen? We want everybody, wherever you're at, just pray. Pray for people in the highways and byways. Don't pray for people in the house if you haven't been qualified. Boy, that's just a little different, isn't it? You say, why, Pastor? Because not everybody in the house is from heaven. And so, you know, I learned that from Brother Rodney Howard Brown, because they would have incredible revival meetings, and then witches would come into the meetings and begin to prophesy over people operating by demonic spirits. And sometimes Christians, they're just gullible. God love us all. See, not everything is innocent till proven guilty. Everything's guilty till proven innocent. Listen to me. If someone begins to speak over your life and you don't know them, step away.
Right.
You don't know what is going on. The Bible says, know those who labor amongst you. Yeah. And so we tell people, listen, if you're not on the prayer team, you haven't been vetted, you haven't been qualified, that doesn't mean you can't or won't be.
Right.
But for right now, you just don't randomly go up and start praying for people. I'm just bringing some balance into order. Ken, is that okay?
Amen.
Some maturity. Now, when you're out in the highways and byways, follow the Holy Ghost. But if you're here, you say, well, I'm just following the Holy Ghost. Not if you're in conflict with the order of the house. You're not.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit will never be in conflict with the Word of God.
Right.
Come on, somebody. But I'm saying we have. So anyway, back. So his mom started praying. Prayer partners started praying. He got back to St. Louis. His cancer doctor brought him in. They started prepping. They were getting things ready while he's traveling. You know what I mean? The chemotherapy and all this. And as they begin to start the process, they did another X-ray, and every dot, every mass was gone. Healed by the power of God. The God we serve, he is the God that does the impossible. He is the God of the impossible, and he's doing. It's going to be so common, people won't believe your testimonies. You prayed for somebody at work and they got healed. I don't believe it. That's okay. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm telling you, I'm picking this up into my spirit. There is a flow of the anointing of heaven that's getting ready to hit this place, and not only Hope Church, but the other church. And there's the miracles and signs and wonders will happen so often that people won't believe it. They'll say, that's too easy. If you receive that, lift your hands and receive that in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you go back to your other church and say, I hope it happens here. It probably won't. Unless they're speaking the word and believing the word. And maybe they are. I don't know. I don't preach to people. I just preach what the Lord places on my heart. So recognizing, and today I want to finish up with responding. Do you know how important response is? Most people have this mindset that if God wants me to have it and he's all powerful, he'll make sure it happens. And it don't work that way. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the way the kingdom of God operates. How does the kingdom of God operate? Find it in the word of God. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Challenge everything I said, because I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to get you to look for yourself. I'm not trying to point to me. I'm trying to point to Jesus and to his word. He's the living word. This is the written word, and the written word always points to the living word. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let me say that again. That just jumped in my spirit. This is the written word, and the written word always reveals the living word. It doesn't draw a lot of attention to the messengers. And people that are trying to draw all the attention to them, you need to have your red flag out. I don't know who I'm talking to. But if people, if all they're doing is drawing all the attention to themselves, something's wrong. I'm just telling you. I don't know them. And I don't know, I'm not talking with somebody in mind. I don't know them. I don't know the situation. But I'm just telling you, I've been around the ministry long enough that I know. I know that in the process of time, it comes out.
Yeah.
People that are always talking about themselves, bragging about, all right, enough said, enough said, enough said. Responding. Let me give you a few examples, an instructional and some examples. Number one, Revelation, we see this. Jesus said, Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, that's our recognize section. If you hear my voice, it didn't say if you hear the knocking, right? We teach our kids, listen, if someone's knocking, ask, who is it? Why? Because if you don't ask who is it, you don't want to open the door and find out.
Exactly.
You want to hear their voice, to recognize their voice. And you don't recognize someone if you don't, by hearing, unless you've been around them enough.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a room and you didn't even realize a great friend, family member, whatever was there, and all of a sudden you heard them laugh?
Yeah.
You weren't thinking about them. You weren't talking about them. But all of a sudden you heard them laugh and you're like, oh, I just heard somebody I know.
Yeah.
Why? Because you spend time with them.
Exactly.
How come I don't recognize the voice of God? Because you don't spend any time with the Lord.
Come on.
And you don't spend enough time with the Word.
Yeah.
Because if you don't obey the written Word of God, you'll never obey the spoken Word of God.
Exactly right.
So don't look for voices. Look to the Word, and in the process of seeking and spending time with the Word and doing what God tells you, you'll develop your spirit person, and one day, all of a sudden, you'll begin to recognize. I remember so clearly, I was a teenager, which is just like 5 or 10 years ago. Come on, somebody. Don't hurt my feelings. You know, today's my birthday. Don't hurt my feelings on my birthday. I'm really 30 years old today, almost times two. 57 years old today. Come on, somebody. I've been preaching the Word of God full time for, I don't know. Started in 1989. Not 2009, 1989. So I don't know how long. Okay, back to the... Anyone, any man, hear my voice. Say, hear my voice. That's recognize. Say, recognize. Notice, Jesus didn't say, if you hear my voice, you're going to receive something. He said, no, if you hear my voice and open the door. James says it this way, faith without works is dead. So we have to recognize and we have to respond. And Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 20, and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's receive. I want to receive. Well, to receive, you first have to respond.
Yeah.
That's the act of faith. But to respond, you have to recognize. That's the instruction from heaven.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to act, if you're just trying to respond without instruction, then you're just spinning your wheels. Because you must be responding in alignment with the recognition.
Amen.
Let me prove it with an example. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. Before we throw it up on the screen, the story is about Samuel. Eli is older. Eli is transitioning out, even though at the time he didn't know, but his sons were just being too wild, too wicked, and he was not dealing with them. Samuel showed up because his mom was barren, did not have any children, and had prayed and said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will leave him here. I'll give him right back. And God honored that prayer, and she literally, after he was weaned, brought him back to the temple, and he worked and lived and grew up in the temple. Samuel's working for Eli. Samuel, and study this out in your own time, Samuel's actually living, sleeping, not only the temple, he is sleeping where the ark is, the ark of the covenant is. Come on, somebody. Samuel's doing, and the the rabbis believe that one of the things that God does, and I'm not saying I believe it or don't believe it, but it's just an interesting thought, that anytime there's a major transition out, there's always a major transition in. If there's a major rabbi that's going to die, there's a new rabbi showing up. Samuel's one of the examples. Elijah, Elisha, there's a transitional thing. Now, some people believe that if a minister, great minister dies, then all of a sudden their anointing goes to somebody else. I don't have an opinion right, wrong, or indifferent. You can believe whatever you want. But I think instead of trying to wait for someone to die before you do something. Okay, you get my point. Because the problem with it is just causes everybody saying, well, my problem, my minister, I need a stronger anointing. I got to wait for someone to die. Well, that's just kind of weird. I just say, seek God. Begin to fast and pray and see what happens. So Samuel is growing up in the house of God. And Samuel is laying down, sleeping one night, or trying to sleep, and the voice of God shows up. Now, one theologian brings out the attention, and if you can, this is stuff that I think is interesting. You can agree or disagree. But because the talks about the candles had not gone out yet, and the candles were in the place where the Ark of the Covenant, so that the light of the candles would resonate over the seat or the throne. In imagery, that the light representing the Shekinah would rest above the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which is really what was happening in the Old Testament when they would go in once a year. The Shekinah glory would show up. And so one theologian believes, one commentary, that the voice of God was coming through the light representing the Shekinah. So Samuel, all he was doing what he knew to do, but he continually rest where God was. Okay, we'll just move on, because we're going to, you study that in your own time. And Samuel, let's get back to just specifically the text. And Samuel heard a voice that said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up and ran to Eli and said, do you call me? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. That's like somebody calling you middle of the night on Saturday night, waking you up. And you're like, what? I got to go to church. And Eli said, go back to bed. A few minutes later, and we don't know the context of how long, but a few minutes later, we'll say Samuel's laying there, and he hears again, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up and runs to Eli and says, you called me. And this went on three times, and finally Eli got a discernment and said, wait a minute, what is happening is the voice of the Lord is calling to you. And he said, next time you hear the voice, I want you to respond. Say, respond. So next time now you recognize the voice, here's what I want you to do. I want you to respond. And I want you to say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. What is he doing? He is verbalizing his recognition and his position and willingness to receive. Because a servant position means whatever you say, I'll do it. Boy, there's a lot of teaching there. When Mary, the very first wedding to Cana, the very first miracle of Jesus, Mary told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, simply obey. Too many times we receive from the realm of the spirit, and then we try to rationalize and mix it in the realm of the natural and our emotional world and our clinical thinking and our left brain, and we'll get it all muddied up. No, whatever he shows you to do from the spirit that comes to your thinking, just simply obey. It doesn't make sense to build an ark where there's never been rain. It doesn't make sense to chuck a rock at a giant that's been well trained. It does not make sense to touch a casket and see a little boy. It does not make sense to spit and make mud and put it on someone's eyes and tell them to wash and watch them. It does not make natural, logical sense. But if God speaks to your heart, speak, Lord, and I'll debate on it. Speak, Lord, and I'll consider it. Speak, Lord, and I'll check out all the pros and cons on a piece of paper, and left side of the pros and the right side of the cons, and I figure it out and weigh it out. Speak, Lord, and that mentality never gets anything from God. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant here. Now, that does not mean that everything you hear is from God. That's why you need to know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never speak out of alignment with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always brings you into the place of truth and to the words of Jesus. Jesus said he'll never speak of himself, but he'll always remind you of the things that I have said. Eli said, here's what you need to do. Here's the hiccup. Here is the problem. Here's the Achilles heel to the situation. You're beginning to hear, but you don't recognize. And because you don't recognize, you don't respond correctly. And because you don't respond correctly, you never go any farther. You would think God said, Samuel, this is the Lord. Let me talk to you for a few minutes. But he didn't do that because Samuel had to learn to recognize and respond correctly. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed. I just wish I could hear the voice of God. How much time are you spending with the Lord? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend in the Word? I'm not trying to judge you, but I'm saying there's deeper waters in the realm of God. And God's not saying stop. He's saying, come on, I'm inviting you. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel the third time. Say the third time. What did he do? He called him. He didn't just talk to him. He called him. When you call somebody, you're looking for the appropriate response. It's an invitation. And the Lord called him a third time. And he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did not call me. Or here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down. Return to the place you experienced God. And if he calls you, you shall say. What is he doing? He's working on the recognition and the response. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. I wonder if he even could sleep. He probably thought, okay, there's three times. And usually in baseball, three times and you're out. But God's saying, listen, I'm going to give you one more time. We don't know how many times, but I think the Lord is patient with us. He doesn't say three strikes, you're out. No, he goes, I'm patient with you. And I wonder if Samuel just sat, laid there and went, man, what do I do? Do I need to try to fall asleep again? Do I need to lay here? Do I need to pray? Do I need to sing? Kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya. We don't know, but he went back. He went back to the posture in the place he was before. And so Samuel went and laid down in his place, which was by the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and the candle, the light. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. I love this because when the Lord showed up to speak to him, he didn't speak from afar. He spoke from proximity. Notice that. He came and okay, study that on your own time. As the other times, Samuel, and then Samuel answered. Say, he answered. He's responding. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Verse 11, the Lord told Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear it shall tingle. God did not start with more for him to receive until he could respond correctly.
Come on.
This is just not a spiritual thing. This is every facet of life when you walk with God. Sometimes we're like, Lord, why am I missing an opportunity? Yet you walk past. Why am I missing a blessing? I'm struggling in this area. And yet you've walked past opportunities of blessing. And you didn't recognize what God had brought to you. The kingdom opportunities. Lord, why am I dealing with this? Maybe you walked past kingdom opportunities. And you didn't recognize that even in the hustle and busyness of the routine of your life, you thought it was all about 9 to 5, pay bills, deal with family, eat, rest, watch a little TV, go to bed, start again, and not realizing that within the confines of your busyness, God is saying, I'm putting in your path for the steps of the righteous. Am I talking to somebody? The steps of the righteous, not the steps of the righteous on Sunday. The steps of the righteous, the steps of the just, King James. The steps of the righteous are ordered. And in that path, he'll create opportunities for you to speak to somebody, for you to encourage somebody, for you to pray for somebody, for you to invest in something, for you redeem, the Bible says, take advantage, redeem the opportunities. Oh, God, why aren't you? And God said, it's because you're trying to get me to do it your way, but my ways, Isaiah 55:9, are so much higher than your ways. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. The prodigal son, back to that thought, Luke 15. And he came to himself. My watch is talking to me. Mess with my watch talking to me. Tell that woman of hell to shut up. Speak to me while I'm preaching. Not of God. The prodigal son, remember, he came to himself. He recognized, this is not my portion. He recognized the portion of my father is generosity, and even his employees have so much left. He recognized, and then he began to respond. What did he do? He began to not only say it, he began to act upon it. For he said, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I have sinned against you, Father, in heaven, and I don't even deserve to be your son. Hire me as an employee. Think about this. He knew that the lesser from his father was greater than from the world. Oh, let me say this again, because some of us, we've been so brainwashed by the world, and it's not the devil's credit, it's to the lack of the church's power credit, that all of a sudden, that he began to recognize, listen, that the lesser of my father in his covenant was so much greater than the best that the world could offer me. And yet we have been told by media, commercials, movies, television, I don't care, I'm not saying don't watch it, I'm saying society, social, all this has told us and shaped our mindset to be begin to think that if you're a Christian, you get the crumbs, and if you serve the devil, you get the best. But I'm here to tell you that in Jesus, the best is yet to come. That's not the plot and the plan of the Father. 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells me that God wants you to be an aroma of his goodness wherever you go. The world needs to realize what they've been buying into is a lie. It is a lie. Sin is a lie. Demonic power. The demons have controlled people, and they find themselves bound by alcohol and drugs and addictions, and they're not living the best, they're living the worst. But I know I'm talking to a group of people of many different generations that's not going to keep it to a clap on Sunday, but begin to say, God, if that's my portion, I want to live it on Monday. Because I know some friends back in the day, they need to sow, they need to see that you are the God of the impossible. You need to be the happiest one of the group. You need to be the one with the most peace. You need to be the one with the most joy. You need to be the one with most contentment. You need to be the one that's the most blessed. We have let the world tell us that if we love Jesus, that means we must suffer and not be better than the world. But Peter tells us that you are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that you are weird, though there are weird people in the church. What it means is you are cut above the rest. I guarantee you, Jesus, who fulfilled the law and walked in covenant, he stood out amongst the crowd. They followed him by the masses. 10,000s of people would follow him. Can you imagine if they got hungry, all they need is a little boy's lunch, and he fed the multitude? He was not messing around. Oh, Jesus was poor. Jesus could not be poor. Go back to every verse that tells you Jesus was poor and begin to read around it and get context. Can I go down this rabbit trail? This is going to mess with some people, and if you get mad, pray for me, I'll pray for you, but I want you to challenge it. If Jesus was poor, then you're going to hell. I'll prove it. I'll prove it. You say, that can't be true. I'll prove it. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. And Deuteronomy 28:29 says, if you obey me, you are blessed. And here's all the things that God would do for you. Yes. Yes. Jesus said, I haven't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. See, the problem with the church is we've been sold two extremes, and we don't know which one is God, and neither one. I'm not saying that you need 20 Bentleys in the garage, and I'm also not saying that you should be the least and the worst dressed and the worst person. I'm telling you, there's a truth in the middle. Most people don't understand to find the balance. Why? Because they're looking to the world for guidance. Jesus said, I've come to do the will of the Father. Anybody did the will of the Father, fulfilling the law, which Jesus did because he operated under the old covenant. Because the new covenant can't be started until the shedding of blood, which was his blood on the cross. And under the old covenant, if he fulfilled the will of God, then he was according to what God said in his word by covenant, he would have to be blessed. If he was not blessed, something could be wrong, which would be one, either A, God said it and he couldn't do it, then he had no power. And if he has no power, you're not going to heaven. Or two, Jesus said he was obeying God, but he wasn't obeying God. Therefore, his sacrifice would not be acceptable. Because for the sacrifice to be acceptable, it must be a spotless lamb. That's a little in your face. But sometimes we need a little cold shower. Woo! Didn't like it going in, but when I came out of that scenario, I felt good. I didn't like it when I heard it, but after I thought about it, I said, wait a minute. Again, you got to keep it in balance. Most people don't know what rich is because it's not a number. Rich is somebody who has more than you. And rich is not coveting. Coveting is of the world. Because our minds need to be renewed, that everything comes in our hands doesn't mean need to be consumed by our mouth. All I need is X amount of dollars. Well, good. Pray for three times that and give 2/3 of your income to the kingdom of God. And let's build some churches in the Philippines. Do you see how the devil has... I'm not saying think money, 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 money all the time. No. The Bible says those who strive to get rich ended up in poverty. Why? But when you do it God's way... You can't read. Every scripture talks about giving, it shall be given.
Right.
Mark 10:30, give to the gospel and to me, and you'll receive 100-fold in this life.
Amen.
Luke 6:38. So all these different verses, and there's so many of them. What am I saying? Don't get caught up by the enemy and let the world define for you what God can do for you. He is the God of the impossible, and he wants to do what he has. He has put in you his treasure, and the greatest treasure is him. The Bible says that if he did not withhold his only begotten son, what else would he withhold from you? We have elevated material things to a higher place than it should be. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. Because the highest priority is not the material. It's not the bling. It's not the car. Those things are good as instruments, but they break down. But there's something that does not break down. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What God put in you is of great value. It's a great treasure. I left my notes again. I can't even go back there. God wants you to be healed. It's in the covenant. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be happy. Well, I think that's all self-centered, said the person. You know, it gets annoying when people say something but live a different way. Just on a side note, if money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money. If money was evil, then every grandparent should be ashamed of themselves for every birthday card they slipped in a few bucks to their grandkids. You all right? I mean, that's like, here's a little weed. It's legal now. Go ahead and give it to the granny kids. You'd be getting a phone call. What are you doing exposing my child to that? But everybody knows when grandma gives you a card, what's the first thing you do? You feel it. It's got any money in it. I'm just saying. The prodigal went back to he recognized the generosity of his father. That's where we're at. And are we going too long? Well, we'll be fine. He recognized the generosity of his father, and he had come to a place of having his mind renewed that he knew that a lower position within the father's relationship was better than the best he could experience in the world. I'm speaking this over somebody's life. I don't know, it's not for everybody, although it could be for everybody. I'm speaking this over everybody, someone's life, that listen, you're going to begin to experience what what God has for you and begin to recognize that what the world has does not compare to the goodness of your God. I'm calling, he can give you, the Bible says he will give you power to get wealth and add no sorrow to it. I'm telling, starting this day, I'm tired of waiting for next week, next month, one day, someday, when somebody comes through town, I decree the word over your life. Starting this day, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Isaiah 60, you are rising and shining, for the light of God's word has come. Are you listening to me? Things are changing before you even see it in the natural. You'll know in your heart, whoa, I just caught something there. If you believe that, give him praise. Hallelujah. Jesus was not messing around. Last verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the prodigal son learned that his best portion was within the relationship with his father.
Yes.
It takes some religious people saying, well, God doesn't want you blessed. And they'll sell books and be worth millions of dollars and own 3 houses and tell people God doesn't want you blessed. You should not give to receive. That's like telling a farmer, do not plant seed and expect a harvest. And even if it didn't make sense logically, it doesn't make sense scripturally. And yet we have, many of us, been taught that. You give just because you love God and out of obedience, but don't expect him to do anything. And that is in conflict with the word of God, head to head. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You ought to wake up and say, Father God, I thank you I'm your son or your daughter. I'm so proud that you're my heavenly father. I'm your child. And what you are doing, like the psalmist wrote, what we have seen God, what he was doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Father, I thank you what you're doing in my life. I'm just celebrating. Even today as I wake up, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. There is an anointing. Study it on your own time. There is an anointing called gladness. And the Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the anointing of gladness above all his other brethren. We shouldn't be the ones oppressed. We should be the ones with the joy. I'm not saying there's not fun in sin. There's fun in sin for a season. Yeah, they're giggling while they're high, but one day they're coming off it. But I'm telling you, there's a spiritual high that God can give you by the Spirit of God that will keep elevating. You go from glory to glory to glory. The Bible says, Proverbs 4, I speak over your life, that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the completed day. Am I talking to somebody? I'm tired of waiting for someone else or someday else. Just like Martha learned. She said, yeah, Lord, I know my brother Lazarus will be, he'll rise up at the resurrection day. And Jesus said, wait a minute, Martha, let me change something. You're looking to a future calendar. He wanted to bring her attention to him. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Your portion with the Father is always greater than your portion with the world. You say, I haven't seen that. It's because we need to spend more time with the Father.
That's right.
Yeah. Psalm 16, verse 5. I'll just read verse 5. The Lord is my chosen and assigned portion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say, are you telling me that God doesn't want to bless me? No, I'm saying he wants to bless you, but he's the blesser. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Some theologians, some rabbis believe that what that was referring to is David, the psalmist wrote that, is that he had got back the Ark of the Covenant, and when he had a tent, because he said, listen, if I'm going to be king, I need worshipers 24/7, and I want the Ark of the Covenant. And many people believe you could, because if you touch the Ark incorrectly, you would die. But David had such a hunger for the things of God. He said, I'm going to get as close as I can so I can stay on this side of eternity. And some people believe that he crawled under where the Ark was, because above the Ark was the glory, and he knew if he could get under the mercy seat.
Yeah, yeah.
He could see something he could not see any other time. Some of you are doing it by out of your works and your planning. I'm telling you, the grace and mercy of God is so great. Get close to God, not because you've earned it, but because of his grace and mercy. And David would crawl under that, and he'd begin to say, he that dwelleth under the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. What is a shadow? That which has been created by a light source in an... So the glory would create a shadow from the mercy seat. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my high tower. He didn't say, I know that he is a. He said, he is mine. Moses said, God said, Moses, I'm letting you go. I'm letting you and the people go into the promised land. But I'm not going with you. Search it out. But I'm not going with you. I will send an angel to go with you to what I have promised. And Moses said, oh, Lord, what separates us from the rest of the world? What separates us from the rest of the world? Is it not your presence? If you do not go, we will stay here. Because your presence is the greatest thing. Not that goosebump he fell on your arm a few minutes ago. Not the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. But the presence, the reality of God's presence in your life. He said, God, there's what separates us from the other people of the world. Is it not your presence? I'm telling you, you can be blessed and sing of the joy. The Lord is my strength. You can be healed and experience God's healing and walk through life and say, listen, I'm giving him all the praise and the credit. You can be successful in your sales and your business. You can get insight in the medical field as a nurse or a doctor. You can get techniques as a teacher or instructor that other people haven't heard of. Are you thinking that everything that has been learned is all that will ever be learned? Knowledge is increasing. Knowledge is increasing. Now, the rule of thumb is that what we use 80% of our daily routine in 20 years has yet to be discovered. That's an ongoing number. And thanks to them creating AI, it's probably sped up. But I'm here to tell you, there's someone that knows everything. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's on the inside of you. Father, your presence is the most important thing. I will not go into what you've even promised me without your presence. Why? Because I know when I'm with him, I'm in his kingdom. I want to be in his kingdom. When you get saved, you've been translated. Colossians 1:13. You are translated. You are delivered from the power of darkness. You are delivered from the power of darkness. I'm telling somebody today, you might have walked in tormented by a demon, by some spell or incantation by a witch. But I'm telling you today, by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, I break that off you. It will no longer bother you. We send it back to its source, and I decree the word. Colossians 1:13, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And if you want to know a little bit about that kingdom, hallelujah. If you want to know about that kingdom, it's not about meat or drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you believe that, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 And when the kingdom comes, it comes with the king. And when the king comes, see, when the King of Kings was on this earth in the natural form, he was limited by some things. Like, it's the time about the taxes, remember that? I know I'm going long, but... But it is. I love you all so much. I'm hanging out with you and Jesus. So, and Peter said, they're talking about us not paying the taxes. And what did Jesus say? Go drop a hook and pick up the first fish and have a coin. Pay for the taxes. Now, I'm not even going to go down that road because the probability, statistically, that's like, I don't know. Can you imagine all the people that fish? No, that doesn't happen. But Jesus didn't do it because he did not have money. He did it because the person who was carrying the money was not with him. See how people twist and misunderstand. But when he was on the earth, he had to have that organizational structure working. But in the realm of God now that he's been glorified, now that he's been highly exalted, when the king shows up, are you listening to me? When the king shows up, he brings with him all of the essence of the kingdom. So he's never in a position without. So you're like, Lord, I need joy. He didn't say, oh, I'll be right back. Let me get Gabriel. I'll call him. I have a box of joy just for you. Hang on there for a second. Lord, I need a blessing. Oh, that's a good one. I just gave that blessing away. I'm all out right now, but I'll be right back tomorrow, Tuesday. No, because when he shows up, everything in the kingdom is within the kingdom. Now I'm talking about dimensional stuff. That's just like everything. So when Jesus shows up, he is the fullness of the Godhead, the Bible says. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When he shows up, everything God is, I don't understand it. I can't understand it all. It does not make sense to me in the natural, but I'm telling you, in the realm of the spirit, it works. That's why demons cried out when Jesus showed up. When they couldn't control the demon-possessed man, he showed up and fell at his feet and said, please cast me into the swine. Because when the king shows up, everything that you would ever need is within the kingdom. He has, the Bible says, he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Instead of going after the stuff, instead of striving for the peace, instead of just praying only for a healing, I'm telling you, go after the king. Because if you get the king, you get everything. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I think that's just a little too experiential. Well, you better believe it is. For the Old Testament says those who know their God, those who know, yada is the Hebrew word, which means to know by experience. Those who know their God shall be strong and shall do great exploits. If you believe that, give them a hand clap of praise. We serve a big God. We serve a big God. We serve a big God. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today, man, I'm just, thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and he's your Lord and your Savior? Only you can answer that. If you don't know that, you can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around. I'm going to pray a prayer. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not if you're a good person or a bad person. Good people do not go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around. I'm going to lead you in a simple but powerful eternal prayer. Say this with me. If you do not know Jesus and you want to have a real experience, not a religion of rules, but a real relationship. That doesn't mean you can go and sin and do whatever you want. Romans 6 says no. That's God forbid about that idea. But where you, it's the greatest relationship, and out of that relationship, your life begins to change. The greatest miracles is salvation. Search your heart right now. Are you right with God? Maybe you've never heard the gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his son to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for your sins, to die for you,
to be buried for you. And on the third day, rose again for you. Pray this prayer. Maybe you've had a walk with God and you've let stuff come between you and Jesus. And right now your heart's not right. And you know it's not right. I don't have to tell you. I don't know. Only you and Jesus know. Pray this prayer from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for me, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. See, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Make yourself real to me today. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look up here. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says heaven is celebrating. Did you realize that? Every time someone gets saved or comes back to the Lord, heaven celebrates. Just like the son of the prodigal, or excuse me, the father of the prodigal. He celebrated. We are celebrating with you. We're not here to control you or manipulate you. No, we want you to live what we call a John 10:10 dynamic life. That's a life that honors God. It impacts your family, friends, and neighbors. AKA, it means I believe you can be all that God wants you to be, do all that God wants you to do, have all that God wants you to have, and reach all those who God wants you to reach. But we have to be involved. We just don't passively do it. Amen? But I'd like to celebrate with you today, and I also want to speak a blessing over your life. I think, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, but I believe in this last day and age, what has been lost in the church world globally is a tenacity to stand up for Jesus. Not be weird, not be goofy, but to have an internal strength that comes from God that allows you to say no to temptation, stand up in the storms of opposition, and to live the way Jesus wants you to live. And so I want to speak that blessing over everyone who prayed this prayer of salvation. So at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. You don't have to come down here. Just stand to your feet. And we're going to clap and celebrate. And you might think, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people I don't know. I get it. But that's the point. If it's hard to stand up for Jesus in a room that would celebrate what you're doing, how hard is it to stand up in the world for Jesus when they're mocking what he's trying to do in your life? Do you see my point? So we can't live this life on our own ability. We need him. Amen. And so if you're bold, I want you to do it quickly. So those who are a little passive or second-guessing will be encouraged. But if you prayed that prayer for salvation today and you meant business, at the count of three, I want you to stand and stand proudly. Are you ready? One, two, three, stand now in the name of Jesus. I know there's a bunch of people. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? I know there's more. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, keep clapping. I believe there's two more. I don't want to miss the opportunity. This is so important. This is so important. Stay standing if you're standing. Stay standing. Thank you. Stay standing. All right. A few more seconds. A few more seconds. No, you don't have to clap. If you prayed that prayer and you meant business, we'll give you a few more seconds. I don't know who I'm talking to. Actually, I believe there's two more people, but we'll wait. This is how important it is. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody? Thank you, sir, in the back right corner. There's my two. Thank you. First of all, congratulations. Congratulations to all of you. Stretch your hands toward them. Father, I thank you for every person that's standing to their feet right now that represents them getting saved. We celebrate with them. We stand with them, and we're praying for them right now. Whatever tactic and method the devil has used in the past against them, we curse and break its power right now. According to your word, they are delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of your dear son, Jesus. And Father, I speak your word, a blessing over their life. I ask you to strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner person right now, by the power, the authority in the name of Jesus. And any tactic or trap the devil has used, we crush it in the name of Jesus. Anybody in their inner circle that's diabolically being signed by the devil to sidetrack them from you, we curse and break it. We ask you to move them out of that relationship circle, regardless of who it is. And Lord, bring others more that are better to take that place in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for the destiny you have on each and every one of their life. We thank you for anointing upon their life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.